comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi folks, welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It is the show where you matter. And we are originating from somewhere on Earth, broadcasting, of course, to everywhere else on Earth. Element 115, the band, is a friend. They are friends of the Kevin Smith Show, and they are an excellent, absolutely excellent rock band. I'll be playing some of their music here on the show tonight, and they are, as I said, friends of the Kevin Smith Show. They have an opportunity to open for in a concert for Kiss, which, of course, everyone on Earth knows. Kiss is going to be doing a concert in Phoenix in September, and they're running a contest to find out which band is going to open for them. Well, Element 115 is in the running, and they need your support. And as a favor to me, I hope you will give your support. On my website, kevinsmithshow.com, there is a link for you to click, and it says Element 115. Just click that. It will take you to the page where you can vote for them. Now, you have to have, and I'm pretty sure you have to use one of the Phoenix zip codes, like 85001 or 85201, something like that. Go vote for them and help them to get this opportunity. This is not a startup band. This is a really first-rate, first-class rock band. And they are friends of the show. They are friends of the UFO community. And I would consider it a personal favor, really, if you would just click that link and vote for them. I would appreciate it. K-Files is our free weekly newsletter, and some of you are getting it, some of you are not, and those who are not just don't get it. It is free, okay? Free. Let me spell it for you. F-R-E-E, free. Free, 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 okay? And all you have to do is click where it says K-Files and subscribe, and then you'll start getting it. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. And we don't share or rent or loan or lease our email addresses, our email list, to anybody else. Okay? Never have and never will. So you're not going to be spammed as a result of having subscribed. You really, for those of you who are not yet subscribed, you have no idea what you're missing, and you really are missing a lot of good information. So you've got time to subscribe during the show tonight. Also, those of you who are listening to the show, I'm glad you're listening to the show, and it is a radio show. But we do have in our members area a whole lot of goodies. And if you look on the left side of my website, you'll see a list of some of the things that are in the members area for you for only 23 cents a day. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening has been with us before. His name is David Corso. Dave Corso has an amazing story that he has shared with us, in part, about being one of America's super soldiers and how it all came about. We're going to delve into some of the same material that we talked about previously, simply because we have so many new listeners. I got a call this morning from our affiliate out in Los Angeles, Indy 104. And the station owner was absolutely ecstatic. He said, "I don't know what you were doing last night, because I had to be away and I didn't get to hear the show. But whatever it is," he said, "man, it absolutely must have been fantastic." And so I asked him, "Well, yeah, great, I'm glad, but why? What's up?" We normally, just a normal average day, we will have 350,000, 360,000 people on his station listening to this show. Last night was 1.6 million. So, we have lots and lots of new people all the time. I want to make sure they know what the story is. So we're going to cover some of the ground we've covered before, but we will cover some new ground as well. Dave Corso, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, Kevin, I'm delighted that you chose to have me back.
Dave, you were part of something called Project Talent. And I did a little bit of research today on Project Talent and found something that I don't think I noticed before, although I did the research before as well. I just don't recall noticing this. They are still in business. They are still around, and they have a website. And if you go to their website and click on About Us, it tells you their story. All right? Their story, according to them, goes like this. In 1957, I'm quoting from their website. Can you hear me okay, Dave?
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, but I got good ears.
Yeah, okay. And it may be the function of the headset or whatever you're wearing, because you're not nearly as clear as you were when you were on the telephone. But 1957, in a small office in Washington, D.C., a conference was held between representatives of a medium-sized nonprofit, leaders of professional groups, and government representatives. Recognizing the power of the proposal, a comprehensive survey of the talents and abilities of U.S. high school students, the proposal was enthusiastically supported by the meeting participants, and Project Talent was born. Dave, there's a lot of public information out there about Project Talent. The public information makes it look like it's all transparent. But when you read their own website about how they started, isn't it interesting that they don't name any of these people in this conference or what office in Washington, D.C. this happened?
Not surprising at all.
All they say, it was a small office in Washington, D.C., and they say that this was a conference between representatives of a medium-sized nonprofit. Well, I'd like to know who. Leaders of professional groups. What kind of professional groups? In fact, which specific professional groups? And government representatives. What part of the government? Who were they representing? They don't tell you this in their own web page, and I find that to be really, really suspicious, to the point of being able to say that's pretty telling right there, that there's something to hide. And you have the at least part of the story about what there is to hide. So share with us a little bit about that. What is it that Project Talent isn't telling us?
It's interesting when you take a look at it, and you can stand back in the shadows and you can watch what they had what they did to me is not near as bad as what they've done to Duncan O'Pinion, and I know that for a fact. I was not, shall we say, altered through the use of torture or that. They simply stuck me in a casket full of snakes and frogs and toads and lizards and all kind of reptiles, and I despise reptiles. And I have a feeling I was in there more than a day. And it is...
Well, tell us what Project Talent was about. What were they up to?
They took people, predominantly those that have Celtic and or preferably Native American genetic background. I have a Celtic background through my mother. My father's Sicilian. And my talent has always been able to sit back and look at something and take bits and pieces and make a picture of what's going on. So I was a team anchor. But my, where Dunk was gone like 4 or 5 years, I was only gone in the summertime from the time I was 11 until I was 14 or 15.
So what was the purpose of all of this? Why were they doing this?
Because when I was in the military, I enlisted in the Navy because I wasn't allowed to enlist in the Marine Corps, and I was transferred to the Marine Corps for the convenience of the government and went right to work for the CIA. Because they already knew what my talents and abilities were.
Okay, well, we're jumping times and leaving gaps here so that it seems disjointed. What was the purpose of them putting you in this? First of all, why did Project Talent draw you in? Why did Project Talent put you in this casket full of reptiles? What's the purpose of what they're doing to you here?
I have to believe that my brother was an early product of that, because when I was 6 years old, he brought home a target rifle that had a Marine Corps insignia on it. They just happened to fit me and said, I'm going to teach you how to shoot. Okay, day later, I'm hitting the target at hitting the bullseye at 100 yards with an iron sights. I said, what's wrong about this? He said, nothing. Just keep shooting. So my specialties when I was in was team leader.
Dave, we still don't know, why was Project Talent doing this to you? What was their purpose for doing these things to you when you were a kid?
Because they take, everybody has three parts of their personality. They have the child, they have the adult, and they have the parent. They work on the child because when a person is like 4, 5, 6 years old, this child is just like a sponge, absorbing everything. And they take that child, and that's the one they split. Then they develop those split alters over a period of years into whatever they feel that this person is best suited for.
And why? Best suited for what?
Some are dedicated as snipers. Some is dedicated as psychic, shall we say, searchlights to go out and look for things. Others like me are selected to be the team leader because I can take bits of information, put together a very clear picture, make a decision on what has to be done and go do it. They may say, here's a project, like... go assassinate this person. Okay. They provide us a way to get to that, wherever that person is, and how we do it is strictly up to us.
Okay.
We go there to do intelligence gathering.
All right, now Project Talent was operated, I believe you've told us before, as a sub-program under MK Ultra. Is that correct?
Project Talent is a sub-project of Mark Ultra.
Mm-hmm. Now, the talent, the people that Project Talent decided had talent that could be used by the government, did they decide whether you were going to be going into Navy, or they decided you were going into the Marines or whatever? Was that talent that decided that, or was there someone above them that decided that?
They can have a big say in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got, so say I was an easy guy and I liked to party a lot, and I went before the judge, we were going to, hey, go to Jamie's? Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. Hang on a minute, I just had a brain freeze.
All right, we'll take a brief break, and we'll let you recoup your thoughts, and then we'll be right back. We are back with Dave Corso. Dave, what we're trying to get at here is Project Talent was scooping up young kids and getting their brains trained for basically, I guess, black ops. But the question I had asked is, who made the decision about where these kids were going to serve? Was it someone in Project Talent or somebody above them?
Project Talent.
Okay, say that again.
It would have to be those in charge of the Project Talent project itself.
Okay.
And I suspect that my brother was one of the very early ones they tested.
All right, now, this on their website, it says that it was a small office in Washington, D.C., and that the founding of Project Talent was done by representatives of a medium-sized nonprofit. And they don't tell us who. Leaders of professional groups, and they don't tell us what professional groups, and government representatives, and they don't tell us that. Do you have any idea who these people may have been?
My guess it would have to be a front organization set up by the CIA that was involved in what became Project Paperclip.
Okay, now
brought over Project Paperclip started doing world at the end of World War II when they brought over people who were involved in Hitler's program to build his super soldiers.
So you think it would probably be the same group of people that did the Project Paperclip?
That would be the forerunners for it, yes.
All right. Now, what sort of training did they put you through? And I'm talking about before you were grown up and joined the military. What sort of stuff did they put you through?
I wish I could tell you. I don't have any recollection of those summers.
Okay, Dave, we have to step away for a scheduled break, and we'll be back, folks, right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dave Corso. Dave Corso is one of the people who has stepped forward and begun to talk about having been in the Super Soldier program. Dave, one of the things that you brought out last time and that I think it's good for us to bring out this time is that when people think of super soldier, they're usually thinking of, you know, Rambo, or they're thinking of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, the Terminators, things like that. And that's simply not the case with all the super soldiers, is it?
Nope.
Some of them have enhanced physical ability. Some enhanced psychic ability. Etc. And they don't look like we see in the movies, do they?
Look like me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about as normal looking as you can get.
All right, so what were your specific abilities that they were enhancing and that you were called upon to use?
I, among other things, was trained as a sniper. I was trained as a combat medic. And there are other parts of me. I find out that I have Look, I have... Actually, it looks like I fear that I have 16 different altered personalities. But I am unusual in that it appears that most, if not all, of my alters have merged, because I can switch alters and still be conscious as Dave Corso. But I had a friend here, and I switched alters one night, and he said, I talked differently, I sat differently, I acted differently. But I was fully conscious as Dave Corso.
Dave, there's a movie that came out called The Manchurian Candidate. Now, the original movie was years and years ago, but then a remake of that came out starring Denzel Washington. And it shows a group of soldiers going through really intense mind-altering incidents, so that people are able to trigger them by saying a certain phrase, and then give them an order, and it gets carried out. Is that the way this works?
That's the way it works with some people. My friend Aaron McCollum, who is on his quest to find out who he is, and now he has a television show daily that he brings news for that you can't find anyplace else, and dear God, I wish him well. But he has implants, and he still gets taken. And he allegedly was taken 3 or 4 weeks ago, and back he allegedly had bruises and marks all over his body. Now, that could be. That would not be beyond what they do. But that means if they were taken, then all his research that's on his home computer, they now have a copy of. Duncan was trained as... Duncan has highly developed psychic traits.
And we're talking about Duncan O'Finian now, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And as was said in the interview that he and I did here for Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy, that we got a call. It said, American Special Forces team is in Cambodia, has a problem, go get them. That was my order. No trigger words needed. So we got on a plane and flew over there and jumped in. And there were...
Now, what year was this when this happened?
1967.
Okay.
And... I called on a secure radio frequency and said, I need help. About 10 minutes later, a CH-46 Chinook lands. These 12 kids get out. Actually, there was 13 kids. Formed a semicircle. There was a long kid with a little kid, white kid that had long, had a big afro. And they formed a semicircle, and all of a sudden there was this blinding flash, and the bullets that were being fired stopped. They looked back at the chopper, and there was a gentleman in there in what appeared to be an army uniform. Waved him back in. They got in the chopper and took off. We went in and rescued this counterpart team. And I said, what did you see, Master Sergeant? He said, man, I said, I don't know what happened. All I saw was a blinding flash, he said, and the bullet stopped. So choppers came in and we took us out of there, and that was the last I saw him. A couple days later, I'm down in Saigon. And I'm at the Navy base at Cameron Bay, and I look, and there's this same Navy officer, and he had strange insignia on his shoulder patch, and I knew him. Okay, let's fast forward to 1992. the latter part of 1991. Gentleman was in my shop. I had a computer shop here where I am now. And my first instinct was to kill this guy. And I said, why do I have this feeling I have never met this gentleman before? And as I sat there, and I got to know this gentleman, I found out his name was John Morrow. He was in the Army, and he worked in a special unit. I says, did you have a funny insignia? He says, were you in Cambodia in March of 1967 with 13 kids? He looked at me and turned white. I said, that had to be you, John. He said, you were the that team that came in to rescue the special forces. I said, yeah. And he says, I have someone I want you to meet. I said, okay, see, he goes right here in Pahrump. 3 days later at a casino, I'm standing there and in walks Robert Duncan O'Finnan, and I looked at him and I said, I know you. And he said, I know you. And the person who was with him said, and I know you too. And I said, and I know you. You were the little one. And John's face turned ashen white.
Why was he having that reaction? Why, you're saying his face turned white. Why would he have that reaction to you remembering each other?
Because we recognized each other.
But I mean, he's the one that arranged the meeting between the two of you.
He was one of Duncan's, shall we say, trainers.
Okay. But, I mean, he arranged the meeting, so certainly he would have expected it was possible you might recognize each other.
He didn't think I would have the memory.
Okay.
Apparently I went through a, shall we say, mind washing before I got out. And,
did he expect that Duncan would remember you?
Duncan remembers me, and he remembers other missions we were on.
Yeah, but did John Morrow expect that Duncan would remember?
I think he did. I think John was one of those that, for whatever reason, we were brought together. But by the same token, there was another lady in town who was a psychologist that was a hypnotist specialist. And right after Duncan moved out of Pahrump, she moved too. And I thought that was non-coincidental. She was what we call a watcher. Someone who's sent to watch people.
All right, now, you and Duncan remembered each other from 1967. He's one of the 13 kids that got off of the Chinook helicopter and by whatever means caused this flash of light. And that caused the bullets to stop flying. But let's go back to that. Why did the bullets stop flying? Did the guns quit functioning or what?
Well, I don't know what they did, but there were masses of bodies just laying around dead with guns in their hands. North Vietnamese, Cambodians.
But none of the Americans?
None of the Americans were touched.
Okay, so... I'm sorry, go ahead. Are you there?
You cut out. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just said, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh. But there were hundreds, literally hundreds of dead bodies that we saw as we were going back out, getting to a place where a chopper came in to get it.
All right, so then you didn't see Duncan O'Finian until 1992. You didn't see him again till then. What about the others in that group? Have you run into any of the others of those 13 kids?
I had only had that one encounter with them, but there was a young woman there that Duncan formed a friendship with that was she's still here. Good Lord, I haven't talked to her in months, but she had other memories of Duncan and I that she corroborated. Then after we had one of these get-togethers, I'd come back home and I'd sit there and I'd think, is this real or not? And I'd take it to my guys and I'd get a confirmation like, yes, this is true and you were there. And sometimes my guide would say, I'm going to have to leave that up to you.
All right, now what we know about this incident in Cambodia. Were there other incidents that were similarly weird, strange, like that? Now, we'll get the answer to that when we come back from this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dave Corso, and we're talking about America's Super Soldier Program and his involvement in it. Dave, when we went away for break, I asked the question just before the break took over, were there any other incidents similarly weird that you can remember that you were involved in as a super soldier?
Yeah, I do. I got a call one time from my handler and said, there's two Army sniper rifles that are missing. I said, you mean along with the sniper team? He said, they're gone too. He said, they're dead. Go recover the weapons. I said, any idea who took them? Or said, it was the North Vietnamese piece. It was your favorite group, the North Vietnamese 242. He said, go find the rifles. So we did. Took us 3 weeks. We got the rifles back along with three brand new Russian sniper rifles. We came back, we told the boss we got the rifles back, and we got two of the new Russian sniper rifles. For the life of me right now, I can't think what it is because I'm trying to think of it.
Well, it doesn't matter.
But anyways, we had just hung up, and in the door walks two Mr. Smiths. Says, we're here to get the two sniper rifles. So we gave them the Army. He said, no, we want those and the other two. I said, why do you want those? He said, it's none of your business, Corso. He said, just do as you're told. I says, if you guys look behind you, you'll see there's a guy with, saying 6'7", weighs 275 pounds, and he's got 245s, one in each hand aimed at each of you. Now, are you going to ask politely, or do we have to kill you and say that you got shot? He says, would you mind giving us the rifle so we can get out of here? So we did. We kept one. Dragunov. That's what it was, a Dragunov. But Dunk has a memory that I have a faint recollection of, and that's rescuing him from a helicopter that was shot down over the base. But I'd like to fast forward to, let me think about this. Had to be 19, let me think. Had to be the first part of 1987. We went down to St. Thomas Island, in the Bahamas, to take look at do some work on some property he had an interest in down there. We got down there on a Sunday, and that night we're sitting down at the bar. The bartender says, I haven't seen you two here in a long time. I said, you know us from before? He said, yeah. Your name's Dave, and that one's Dunk. I said, you're right. I don't have any recollection of that. But Monday evening, we took a walk up to the market area where the native, they have this open-air market that's just marvelous. And we're walking through the aisles and the booths and stuff, and this woman says, Dave, I haven't seen you here in 20 years. And I looked, and there's this very tall, very beautiful native on the island, and she says, Dunk, I haven't seen you either. I said, you know us. She says, oh, I know you two very well. I turned to her, I says, what's our fascination with the island out there? She says, you'll think about it sooner or later. And Dunk looked at her in amazement, and I turned to look at Dunk, and I turned back, and she was gone. All right, Thursday evening, we're standing in the room, and I says, where have we been for 2 days? Dunk says, what day is it? I said, this is Thursday. I said, the last thing I remember is coming up here Tuesday evening after supper. I don't have any recollection of Tuesday evening, all day Wednesday, until just about 10 minutes ago. Dunk says, I don't know. So we went down to the bar. He says, where you guys been? He says, last time I saw you, he said, you guys stopped for a drink after dinner. So you come back down, and he says, this is now, he said, now it's Thursday and you're here. I said, that's an interesting story. I wish I had an answer for it.
So what do you think the solution is?
I think we were sent on a mission someplace in South America. Because when I came back, I had the smell of gunpowder on my hand. I didn't have any weapons with me.
Are you dangerous to be around, Dave?
Beg pardon?
Are you dangerous to be around?
No.
The reason I ask, and I think you could imagine the reason. If you don't know where you've been and you got gunpowder on you, and you have a history as a sniper, maybe it's not a good idea to be around you because you may get sent on a mission against whoever's around you.
You remember the last time I interviewed on you and that gentleman friend of yours called from Florida?
I don't remember who all called, but I remember you being on, yeah.
And he's the one that asked me if I remembered down at White Sands Missile Proving Grounds.
Oh, he asked you if you remembered ever being at Los Alamos, I think.
Los Alamos, right.
Mm-hmm.
And he said a series of words.
Okay. Yeah, I remember I don't remember the words, but I remember the conversation.
Those were words that would normally, I guess, would have triggered me. They did not trigger me. Now, by the same token, I was in a chat room one night for Rebecca Jernigan's program, and there was a woman in there from England, a woman in there that she snapped out a series of words. I looked and I said, those are trigger words. They had no effect on me. And I told her, I said, you don't know who I am. And what's more, you don't want to know who I am. then I had a discussion with somebody that said, oh, she just this, that, and I said, no, I said, those were trigger words.
How did she know them?
That's an interesting question. I wished I had an answer for it. But I'm finding out that there are people coming out of the woodwork now who are making all kinds of claims about have being abductees for this MI lab.
Yeah.
And they're all clustering around Aaron McCollum.
What do you think that means?
I don't know. I don't go to Facebook. I don't do any social networking sites.
Mm-hmm.
He supposedly has over 5,000 friends now. But it's interesting from what people tell me that when they look at people who are on his friends list, and they look at other people who are his friends, and there is one in particular who must live on Facebook, because everyone that becomes a friend of Aaron, he allegedly has befriended this other individual. She befriends these other people and then just literally worships Aaron.
So what do you think? What do you think the significance of that would be?
I believe that these people may have implanted memories without the actual memory being available to coordinate it with.
Okay, explain that a little bit to us.
But Aaron made an interesting comment in one of his interviews. He said, the reason I don't get taken is I don't have any implants. And he's right, I have no implants. So whatever they did to me was strictly in my brain.
Okay, so what's the significance of this lady that's kind of an Aaron McCollum groupie?
That's a good way to put it. When Aaron was up in Colorado, I sensed Aaron was in trouble and another friend with me.
Okay, Dave, we'll have to get that answer when we come back from this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome. Finally, you got here. We're glad you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away for that entire first hour. So sorry that you missed all that information, but we are glad you're here now, and we're talking with Dave Corso about his participation in, unwitting perhaps, unwilling perhaps, nevertheless was a part of the Super Soldier program. And Dave, when we went away for break, I was asking about this lady that you told us about, this sort of an Aaron McCollum groupie. Now, Aaron McCollum is another of the Super Soldiers. What's the significance of this groupie?
When this other partner of mine, for lack of a better term, well, we could see Aaron that he was in trouble. We could not get in to get close to him psychically because there was a vortex around the house that we could not break. And we were talking on Skype at the time, and this email from England says, well, I can get you in there, and we went straight into Aaron. Now, a vortex like that is a very powerful psychic vortex. And Aaron was really being messed up because when we were talking to him, I said, you have to let the other person with you just touch you. It will ground you. Oh, no, no, no. I have to protect her. I have to protect her. I said, let her touch you. She will ground you and bring you out of this. And he just was adamant about it. And when this other person touched him, he was instantly grounded. The vortex went away. I could see into his mind. And there was such confusion that all of a sudden I said, thought to myself, this individual in England is the one that put this vortex up, but where did she get the power to do that? Because I don't sense that she's that powerful a psychic. Some psychic ability, yeah. And Aaron has virtually none. But the person he was with is a very powerful psychic. Psychic ability to see things, to sense things. The person I was working with is also very powerful psychic. And I guess I have some strength in that because at the Awaken Aware in September of last year, when Duncan went through one of the most horrible psychic attacks I've ever witnessed, through the help of 14 people that I had got together the night before and said, I may need your help tomorrow. And when I went up to Duncan on the stage, I said, what'd you experience, Duncan? He says, Pops, I was falling through the stage. So apparently my psychic ability is much stronger than what I had realized.
Okay, we're going to open up the telephone lines and invite our audience to call with any questions they may have. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone numbers are, as always, the main number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. In the USA and Canada, I have a toll-free number for you. If you need to call me toll-free, you may. It is 888-223-4599. For those who are outside of the USA and outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number that's international. So what I've done is I have a link on my website. Go over to kevinsmithshow.com. And scroll down, you'll see a link that says Flash Message. You can send your question or your comment that way. But keep in mind, if you're anywhere on planet Earth, the main number will work, and we would love to hear from you. 623-444-5889, all right? And the phone lines are open. Dave, I made a mistake in understanding, although I haven't voiced it here on the show. I thought you were trained as a psychic warrior, but you were not, were you?
I had to have some. Because I spent years in a technical support group for different companies as a principal engineer. And I could look at different error codes that were coming out of a computer-operated machine, and there could be 150 things that could cause that same error code, and yet I could fix them faster than most people.
All right. Well, let's go to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Tony from Denver.
Hi, Tony.
Hello, Kevin, and hi, Dave, and thank you for your service, first of all.
Well, thank you, Tony, for acknowledging that.
My question for you is, why did you draw the blinds and sit in the dark with a loaded gun? What was the hidden threat just on the other side of the front door?
Nothing. But that is not something unusual for someone who has post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
All right, Tony, do you have another question or comment?
That was it. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. You know, there's also, and I certainly am not and have not suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder. I was never in situations that I think would be, that could cause that. But, you know, I have had to live in situations in my service overseas. I have had to live in situations where, for instance, your private space in which you live is barely bigger than a phone booth, really small. And you get used to that. You become accustomed to it. And it's difficult later when you're in other situations where you have normal living space. It's difficult to adjust yourself to all that space. And I don't think that's post-traumatic stress disorder, but just the conditions that you're in have an impact on you for the future, at least for a while. And I certainly could see that. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, I'm John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Hello, John.
I just want to thank David Corso for what he's doing.
Okay.
And the question I have is, early on in the interview, David said something like he was exhibiting different behavior from observers, but he still had a sense of him being David Corso. So that really twigged me. So I'm really curious about that, and I'm wondering how that might work. Like, how did that happen? How can David exhibit different behavior according to observers and still feel like David Corso?
It was just the way I sat differently and I spoke differently. But it was noticeable enough that this friend of mine that was here, actually it was Aaron McCollum, was sitting two chairs down at another computer. He just stopped and looked at me, and after it was over, he said, "Your other alter was here." He says, "You switched alters." And that was the first time it had ever been brought to my mind that I could switch alters and be fully conscious. Because I've seen Aaron switch here, and he's a total different personality. Voice is different, acts differently, smokes different cigarettes, etc. Where he says, I have seen, he says, looking back at it, I've seen you switch alters, but you're still there. It's just this other alter blends in and takes over, and it knows what to do. That's why you can do so many things so well. I said, that's interesting. I'm glad you brought it to my attention. But I think my blending started back in 1983, doing a program with Warner Earhart's group called The Sixth Day, where I came face to face with this little child in me that was running my body, running amok, so to speak. And I brought him out in front of me and said, you have done your last dirty deed for me until I bring you out to play. And that's all you will do is play. You'll no longer run my web, run my life. And I went through some really difficult times when I was working, because there was time. I picked one guy up by the throat and said, if you ever say anything like that to me again, I'll kill you. I said, you insulted me. I said, you're merely a supervisor. I'm a principal engineer, and I make more money than you do. How does that grab you? And the director of the group says, he's right, Harry. He makes more money than you. He doesn't work for you, Harry. But I'm a supervisor. He said, he's a principal engineer. He makes more money than you. He reports directly to me.
All right, let's go back to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. This is Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Yeah, congratulations, Kevin. What you told us in the beginning of the show there about your audience is wonderful, and I wish all your guests that's listening tonight to give you applause. Job well done.
Well, thank you. You know, if we have 1.6 million on just one station, that says something about being where we are in 143 countries.
Yeah, great. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, maybe finally, people are, the awakening is happening, hopefully this isn't a fluke and it continues. And, and we actually do have hope.
I hope you're right. I really hope you're right. But even if it's a fluke, to have 1.6 million on one station, I'll take it. Fluke or not, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got a question, quick cut, for your guest.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't them projects... there was more than one. Wasn't that held at a base off New York, an early warning base back in the 50s or 40s? Am I thinking of the same thing? Yeah. Didn't they do all kinds of stuff from breaking down children for making them candidates to supposedly... transportation, time transportation, and some other really weird stuff. And I guess there's supposedly 10 layers underneath this tower or building that's still there. They made it a national park now, from what I understand. Is this that place?
They have several underground bases. In fact, they have many underground bases. I wonder if the one you're talking about is on Montauk.
I heard Duncan. I've heard him before. He seems to be a pretty shy person. And you say he's kind of on the radio and, becoming a celebrity. From what I've seen from him, that kind of seems to be out of character. And also I heard that he actually is reincarnated. He actually died. Is any of that true?
I'm having trouble hearing you.
All right, he wants to know if Duncan, he heard that Duncan is reincarnated, that he actually died and has come back. Is that true?
I have no idea.
Okay. Terry, thank you for the call. 623-444-5889 is the main number. And, of course, we have for those in the USA and Canada the toll-free number as well. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask. This is Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to ask a couple questions.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, are there any public officials, couple names maybe Robert Gates or Mike Mullen from the Pentagon? Do you know of anybody that knows about this program? Have you?
He was cut out, Karen.
He wants to know, do you know of any public officials like Robert Gates or somebody like that who knows about this program, this super soldier program?
Not that I would think would say anything about it in the public view.
Okay, Ryan, do you have another question?
Okay, well, I guess that answers my question. I just wanted to see if there's any people like that he's ever talked to.
Yeah, they're not going to go public with it. If they won't talk about UFOs, which is something all the world has seen, and they won't talk about that publicly, I'm pretty sure they're not going to talk about super soldiers. All right, Ryan, thank you for the call. And we're sitting on pins and needles waiting for you to call, folks. 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. Bob in Australia has sent us a flash message, and he says, "Hi, Kevin and David. My question to David is, David, do you know who is truly behind the Gulf oil disaster cover-up? Any ideas would be most helpful. All the best. Bob from Australia." What about that, Dave? You know anything about who is really behind the Gulf oil disaster?
It's interesting he should ask that, because Aaron McCollum has devoted a lot of time and research to that. And he has, on his website, which is thetruthcollective.com, I believe is what it's called, he has a lot of information on there, and it appears to be very good, sound information. Who do I think's behind it?
Yeah.
Oh, the nasty powers to be. It's all part of a plan to get, you know, they say they have to get rid of 90% of the world's population because we're just useless eaters. Because this is something that will not go away.
All right, back to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Jackie from Florida. You're kind of breaking up a little bit.
Hello, Jackie. We can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I was wondering, when he was talking about the lady who created the vortex and things around the house, is there any way that this could be almost like a Russian or a Chinese version of our super soldiers, except they've been trained? I mean, Russia's been into this stuff probably longer even than America has. And I'll listen to my answer offline.
Thank All right. You. Thanks for the call. What do you think?
I don't think it's the Russians having anything to do with it. I think it's part of what we call the Illuminati, that group, who they have a very big hand in all of this trash and garbage.
Do they have a big hand in the Super Soldier program as well?
I would think they do.
Would you say that the Super Soldier program is actually a part of the legitimate military, or is it the private military of the Illuminati?
Private army of the Illuminati?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with over, supposedly at this time, just on the fifth generation alone, they allege they have over 15,000 of these super soldiers. And according to what I've heard and what I've read and what people have shared with me, they have one task. That's to protect the powers to be when things get really bad.
You know, there was a senator by the name of Inouye from Hawaii. And Senator Inouye made a speech in the Senate where he said there is a secret shadow government, unelected, and they have their own army, their own navy, their own air force, their own space program, and they operate completely outside of the elected government of the United States and not under the control of anyone. Now, that's a matter of record. He made that speech, and it didn't get a whole bunch of airplay. Yet you can find it on YouTube. You can find him a video of him making the speech on YouTube. But it didn't get a lot of airplay back when he made that speech. But, you know, the implications of that are absolutely terrifying. That this super-rich, elitist, secret government has its own army, navy, air force, and space program. And now we throw onto that pile super soldiers, 15,000 super soldiers, all with just one purpose, and that is to protect these bone dealers.
That is correct.
It's
interesting when you do even further, when you look at bits and pieces that come out, they have this gentleman over in England who, on a dial-up, strolled right into the middle of the Pentagon and opened up secret files and read information about things like the off-world Navy. He had names and things. That's why they want to extradite him back to this country. If they had any security, they wouldn't have that problem.
Well, you know, on that issue, I have said, you know, where are the people, where are the heads rolling on that? Where are the people being fired for not having those computers secure? We have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest this evening, Dave Corso. Dave, I was talking about Senator Inouye when we went away for break, but let me go to a flash message. And by the way, folks, the telephone lines are open and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Or toll-free at 888-223-4599 in the USA and Canada, or the flash message feature if you're outside of the USA and Canada. You can use that or you can call us. But I got a flash message from Ross in the United Kingdom, and he says, if Dave's experiences are a result of 50s, 60s super soldier programs, I shudder to think what they are doing to today's kids in current equivalent programs. With such appalling deconstruction and torture of a life for the gain of the elites and the state, I'm kind of surprised that Mr. Horak hasn't made his decision yet, and we aren't seeing the serpent in the sun. I wouldn't blame him. You've talked about being, you know, there's first generation, second, third generation, and now we're on fifth generation super soldiers. What's the difference between, say, I think you said you're third generation, right?
I'm first generation.
First generation. What's the difference between first generation and fifth generation?
Fifth generation, from what I understand, that if anyone out there has watched the movie Avatar, where they show a synthetic body that they transfer a soul into, that is now reality. And the fifth generation super soldiers look like human beings, act like human beings, but the thing is, their bodies are not like ours on the inside. They are an artificially constructed body with a human soul that's transposed into it. Whatever you see in a science fiction movie It's just the powers to be rubbing our nose in what they can do.
Okay, so if they transfer a soul into this avatar body, why would they do that? I mean, is it so that if that body gets killed, the soul comes back to its original owner and they can put it in another one? Or, well, I mean, what's the purpose of that?
When you have a human body that is so strong that two men can lift an Abrams tank, well, they're having a problem with the skin because the skin tears, but the skin regenerates almost instantaneously, from what I understand. And it makes me shudder to think, because when Duncan has talked about them, you can shoot them and they just keep on coming. They have an artificially constructed skeleton with a human body that's built around it. It heals faster, it's not subject to poison gas, it can hold its breath for long periods of time, organs will regenerate, and they're programmed to do one thing. That's whatever they're told to do, without question or hesitation or reservation. That scares the hell out of me.
Well, and that means something coming from someone who is a super soldier. You know, for those of us who are not, naturally that would scare the hell out of us. But coming from someone who is in the super soldier program, or has been, that really means something. It's pretty awesome. But here's what I don't understand. Why do they transfer a human soul into the why do they transfer a human soul into that body? Well, apparently we have lost our guest online, so we'll bring him back up here and see if we can talk. We'll see if we can get him back online here. All right, are you back with us? No, not yet.
We got cut off.
Yes, we did, and I'm not surprised. Are you?
Not at all.
Okay, my question is, why are they transferring souls into them? Will they don't operate unless you transfer a soul in?
Apparently not. That's what... When you take a look at the movie Avatar and you look at what they're telling you about what they're doing, it makes sense. You construct super strength skeletons out of steel and whatever, put a human body around it, grow tissue and organs and stuff, transfer a soul, and it becomes a human being, sorta.
Now, does this program have to go through any committees of Congress to be approved? Are there any elected officials that are approving this program?
My guess is no. They hide it under a black budget. Hide it under a black budget, you don't have to explain it. You just say, well, it's a classified project. We can't tell you any more than that.
How can all of this be brought under control?
Honest politicians who aren't beholden to anybody who are after the truth, which I don't think you're going to find in this lifetime.
Well, you certainly have to get outside of Washington, D.C. to find any. That would be the case. But, you know... There has to be a way. I was just thinking as you were talking, well, if there was a total financial collapse, that would collapse the black budget. But the thing is, these are multinationals. These elite Illuminati types are multinationals, and it doesn't matter to them if one economy or another collapses. They've got billions coming in from everywhere.
They want this country to go broke.
Why?
That's part because then they can bring Mexico, the United States, and Canada into the North American Union. What's left of the middle class will be down to the same level as the lowest class in Mexico. That's their plan. They'll still have the money to finance this stuff, only they'll get it cheaper.
Well, and the more poor people are, the harder it is for them to resist those who have money to buy technology and arms.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
You have just said something worth $40 billion.
All right. I'll give you my mailing address, and you can send it right on over.
As soon as I get mine, I'll share it with you.
Okay, that's a deal. That's a deal. 623-444-5889 is the main number here in the studio. And then we have a toll-free number for the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. Aaron talked about, when he was on the show, he talked about having been to a base that was underwater. Have you ever been to such a base?
Well, according to Aaron, apparently I have. When he sat here and, in an altered state, made a drawing of what we call the Seagate, it rang bells in my feeble little head.
So before that, you didn't remember being there?
No, not until I actually saw the drawing. And I said, this is too real to be coincidental. And he has memories of the time in the Duncan and I had the missing time down in St. Thomas of meeting us, and we went through a Seagate to a place in South America. He has a very vivid recollection of that.
How can you and Duncan and Aaron, when you're sitting around and something like this happens, where he draws a picture and you begin to sort of have a recollection of, yeah, that looks very familiar to me, how are you guys able to sort out what is a real, honest-to-God memory and what is not?
Very interesting question for which I don't have a logical answer. Intuition, taking it to your guide, asking yourself, could that be? But the way Aaron explained it, no doubt that we did that through him. Dunk says the same thing on that.
And what do you mean you did that through him?
He apparently had some knowledge of how these Seagates work. And we were able to go underwater to get to this Seagate and go do whatever we did.
All right. Do you have any recollection at all when you say we did whatever we did? Do you have any recollection at all of what that was? What was it that you did?
He went with us. Now, can I say for a fact that he didn't go with us? Not at all. Because there's another party to this who goes by the name of Axe, that has memories of me saving her.
During this same period of time, right?
No, a different period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can I say her memory is false? No. The reason being, she has such a vivid memory that I can't truthfully say she doesn't have the memory.
I see, but you don't have the memory, right?
I don't have a clear memory.
Mm-hmm. Do they use drugs on you guys to cause you to have memories or to not have memories or to have false memories? We'll get an answer to that when we come back from this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Dave Corso. And Dave Corso, I had asked a question as we went away for break. Do they use any kind of drugs on you guys to affect your memory, make some memories go away, or induce other memories?
They have to do something. My guess is they have an advanced form of hypnotism that apparently works well.
In the movies, there are a couple of movies out called Men in Black and Men in Black 2. Of course, they are science fiction, entertainment, not intended to be documentaries. But the Men in Black use a little device that flashes a light and causes everyone's memory to vanish. Have you ever seen any instruments, anything like that?
Not to my conscious knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever met any men in black?
Men in black. Not per se. What I have run into is, like when I got out of the service and I was working for the phone company in Oakland, California, this gentleman one night on my way home, walking, because I walked back and forth to work, it was only 10 blocks, it was good exercise, offered me a job working for the KGB. And I said, interesting, you offer me a job working for you. He said, that's right, it'll make you a major. I said, you make me a major for how long? 6 months. I says, and after the 6 months, you kill me when you get all the information you want. I turned and walked and turned back about 4 steps later, and he was not there. He had no place to go, which I thought was rather interesting.
Well, that brings up the prospect of the possibility of time jumps. Have you run into any of that technology, time jumps?
I have somewhere deep down inside of me, it says I have to have some knowledge of that. Because this Axe, who is a very unique female, has memories of me rescuing her before she was born. Now, does that say that her memories are false? No. All that says is she has a memory that I can't really put my brain around. But that doesn't, by the same token, it doesn't make it false. That's a hard one for some people to understand.
Have you ever had the experience of someone saying they saw you at a certain place at a certain time when you knew for sure you were at a different place at a different time, and yet they swear they saw you? Have you had that happen?
Yeah.
How do you think that happens?
I could draw several suppositions, but I don't have a ready answer.
I know of a case where, I mean, you know, the obvious answer that first comes up is somebody's wrong. Okay, and that could be. You know, somebody's mistaken. On the other hand, I know of a case where a man and his wife, so she was with him, she can corroborate, were at a certain place, certain date, certain time. There are three people who say they saw and talked with him at another place at the same time. Now, he doesn't remember it, his wife doesn't, and they both swear that's not the case, that they were elsewhere, they were somewhere else. And the three people all swear you were at this place, and we talked with you. And I'm wondering if there's some kind of time slip or something like that, so that it can give the appearance of having been somewhere at a time when you were really somewhere else, but they slipped the time, and I don't know. But, you know, I ran across that, and I wondered if it was in any way part of the super soldier experience, the time jumps, the time slips. Do you know of any of the other super soldiers that have talked about time slips?
Aaron McCollum. And in private conversations, Duncan and I had, talking about partial fragment memories we have. He has a memory that I can share with him of me being in a jungle with Axe about 6 years old, again before she was born, carrying her in a suitcase to get her away from these people. And she has a very vivid memory of that event where I hid her, went out and talked to these other individuals, and sent them on their way. I have a partial memory of talking to somebody. That sort of corroborates what she has and with what Duncan told me separately.
So let me make sure I understand. Now, Duncan has a partial memory of this as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
She has a partial memory of it. And you have a partial memory of it. Is that right?
Right, and Axe had a more complete memory of it. So there has to be time travel involved.
Who would have the time travel technology? Would that be the Navy, or would that be the Air Force? Who would have that?
Whoever is running and paying for Project Talent, the powers that be. But when you take a look at the Committee on Foreign Relations and the Brookings Institute and several other, shall we say, elite intelligence people, groups that are in the public, so to speak. It makes me think that they have been using time travel forever, essentially. I mean, there's stories of the Germans going to Mars in 1942 and establishing a base.
Do you think that story is real?
I don't see any reason why it couldn't be real.
All right.
Because I sent you a link that had, or sent you an email that had a link on it. Did you get it?
If you sent it during the show, no. I do the show. I don't read email during the show.
Okay. Look at that later, that website. And there's a gentleman that allegedly spent 20 years on Mars. Now, I read the whole complete article down through there. I don't see any reason to believe that he's telling a lie.
All right, I'll take a look at it. We are out of time. I want to thank you for being with us. And so if you'll just stay on the line with me for a moment, I'd like to talk with you after we go off the air. That's a wrap for this evening, ladies and gentlemen. And it's time for me to say, my friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.